Blog Talk Radio.
For another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I am the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League and your host, Rick Goreski.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Oh, too late. You just did. It's me, guys. I'm back in action, ready to do this podcast, the 2016 Rookie Draft Review. Series is underway. Round one is what we're going to recap tonight. Pardon me. Excuse me for that. We're going to recap round one tonight. Hopefully we'll get round two in, whether that's tonight or whether we do that tomorrow. But anyway, the plan is to do round one, separate show. Then we're going to do a separate show for round two, and then we're going to do a separate show for rounds three, four, and five. So, here we are. Before I can recap even round one, I need to add the we to me. So, allow me to introduce my co-hosts for today's show. First up, he's a familiar voice, a longtime friend of the show, the owner of the Malicious Minds. Please welcome Tom Buckles. Welcome to the show,
hey, what's
Tom.
Up, Jeff? Hey, how's it going, man?
We are
Hello?
Stalling a little bit. Dude, I'm on. Are you in?
Hello, I'm in. Are you?
Yeah, I bet
Hello?
Your wife says that all the time. Are you in?
Are you in?
We just went up to an R rating, I think, at least PG-13 here. We're waiting for Steve Wellman to join us.
Oh, dare.
Hey, you
want to
trade? Let's talk trade. While
I got an offer
Steve Wellman.
I got an offer out there to you, right?
You got an offer already out there.
Hey, there was, what, 12, 14 trades, whatever it was? It was crazy.
Actually, Trade Mania, that's kind of one of the things we were going to talk about in the Round 2 show, but we can quickly forecast. There were 12 trades total made during the 2016 rookie draft. There was a 13th trade that occurred just before, about 10 days before the draft, involving a third-round pick. So they're definitely the most active draft we've ever had. You played
yes,
a role
I
in
do.
That.
I got a little bit foot wet in that, yeah.
Well, why don't we just keep going, and when Steve pops on at some point, I'm sure he will, we can add him to the show. So let me pick up where we left off. Let's rock. Let's recap our goals to walk through round one of the 2016 Mad Dog Dynasty League rookie draft. And we're going to talk about what picks we liked, what picks we didn't like, any trades. We'll talk about how the players fit into each team's roster, winners, losers, any general feelings about how round one went down. So let's go ahead and get to it. First, not a lot of balance in round one. Normally there isn't. If you look down, kind of a breakdown by position. Offense was the way to go. 8 out of the 12 picks were spent on offense. Only 4 of the first 12 picks were spent on defensive players. The breakdown was as follows. 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 5 wide receivers, 1 defensive lineman, 2 linebackers, and 1 defensive back. Last year, we had 4 owners who had multiple picks in the first round. This year, only 2 teams had that luxury, and both are part of the show, or at least we hope Steve will join us at the very least. We have one of those 2 owners on. Stoneform Pallies had multiple picks, 3 total for Stone, 4th overall, 9th overall, and 10th overall. And Tom, your Malicious Minds had 2 picks, the 2nd overall pick and the 12th overall pick. 2 teams traded out of the first round altogether, including my own team, Crazy 7, and Tron's Past Sixer. So, with the draft over, would you be willing to share what your strategy was in trading into this year's first round? And, Tom, I want to say that several pundits have said that this year's draft was weaker than prior year's drafts and weaker than what next year's draft will be as far as what they speculate. So what was the motivation to get multiple picks this year?
I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen at the top. Once the actual draft happened, I knew kind of, you know, Zeke was going one. So at that point, I figured I'd get a guy that kind of went to the same team as Randy Moss did and got spurned by the league, and I think he's going to play angry this year. So that's kind of what I figured, you know, I'm going to get me an angry Michael Irvin type of size player, especially with Norv Turner up there. I think they're going to go a little more, you know, basis of how they did down in Dallas back in the day. And I don't know. I just felt that the teams are trying to fill because of the change in the style of the league play. Receivers have been jumping, you know, up higher and higher. And the league's trying to go to a quicker, fast-paced, and higher-scoring league. So, again, there went the way of the running back. So I figured, you know what, I'll get one of the top guys that I saw on the wideout. Although, I was hedging myself on either him or Sterling Shepard, so I wasn't 100% in on Treadwell. So
Shepard was in the picture.
Oh yeah, he was definitely. I'd say probably it was 60-40 or 55-45% either way on that one. And when I did pass on Shepard, I don't know why it was, but inside of me I knew it was, you're in trouble. Fram's team was going to be the one who was going to pick him up. I had what it was, but there was an inkling inside of me that he was going to get him. So.
Well, he has won the draft wide receivers as far as the past. He's kind of drafted a lot, though, now that I say that. He's. I remember he took Keenan Allen 1 year for sure.
Yep,
I think there's one other pick in there too that he got. But anyway, I
took that 1 year.
For my own team, as far as why I traded out, I did want openly to trade four additional picks, having done a lot of research and listened to a lot of different shows and experts. I'm big on I have a long drive in. I've talked about it before. I've got a very long commute, especially during the school year when I'm dropping kids off, talking like 3 hours a day or more in my car. So I do a lot of listening to podcasts, and I was getting a lot of feedback from multiple different shows that next year's draft, you know, if you could trade picks from this year to get picks for next year, that's what you wanted to do. And also just it talked about how the skill position players in this year's draft, due to the great classes of last year and the year before and what's anticipated for next year, they said this year's draft class would potentially be a little weaker at the skill position levels. Now, mind you, that doesn't mean there's no talent. That doesn't mean there's nothing there to go get. It just means that the big ticket items, you know, those star running backs, those star wide receivers, that kind of playmakers, the playmaking quarterbacks that everybody chases. Like last year, we had Mariota, Winston. Wasn't there a third quarterback that people chased last year too? I have to go back and. But I.
It slipped in my mind.
My strategy. I'm actually just peeking on it real quick here. The quarterback, last year Winston went 6th overall, Mariota went 10th, and then the next quarterback, it's really down here, man. I thought this would be like a fast, looks like Bryce Petty. You took him in the second pick of the 5th round. I might have missed somebody in between there. Well, here, I can actually click on a button. Yeah, Bryce Petty was the third. Garrett Grayson went last year in the fifth round. Brett Hundley went in the fifth round. So there clearly were some quarterbacks that people were chasing after the top two. But back on track, I traded out just because I had the opportunity. I didn't. If I could pick up picks next year, I wanted to, but I personally traded out of the first round primarily because I stumbled into a trade where I could get Aaron Rodgers. And it was the 10th pick, so I was all in on that. Steve's not here to talk about, you know, if he comes back, we can ask him, but we're just going to keep going. So let me go ahead and rattle off who went where, and then we can dig into, you know, comments on different players and picks. Ezekiel Elliott, number one overall to Ipswich United. Ipswich did trade up to make this pick. He traded with Stone Form. Laquan Treadwell, wide receiver, Minnesota, went to your team, Tom, the Malicious Minds. Defensive lineman, the surprise of the draft, defensive lineman Joey Bosa, San Diego, going to the Marauding Minotaurs. The Minotaurs trading up the morning of the draft to third overall, trading Dez Bryant and a couple of picks for pick 1-3 and 2-3, and he took Joey Bosa. Fourth overall, Josh Doctson, Washington, went to the Stone Form Pallies. Running back Kenneth Dixon of Baltimore went to Show Me Your TDs. Quarterback Jared Goff of the now Los Angeles Rams went to Klingons Around Uranus. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard, as you mentioned, Tom, went to Urine Trouble of the New York Giants. And I do think it's important to mention there, I know we're going to talk about the players in just a second, but the connection to Ben McAdoo, the former Packer coach, I think that plays big on that Sterling Shepard pick because he's going to spread that ball around. Is that one of the things you were thinking about as you considered him?
My main thing was the upgrade on the offensive line. Their defense is built solid right now. They got a second-tier type of quarterback that's been in the league for over 10 years now and is a leader in the position. And you've got a proven number one on the other side. They haven't had, you know, that number two guy since, what, Victor Cruz went down. So, I just think that they're, with him being there, I think he's going to be able to expose that whole middle because of him having that route tree down pat and just his overall toughness. I think he's a step ahead of like a Randall Cobb if you look at it in the league right now. Put a step over him.
Well, eighth overall, Dream Team took Miles Jack, linebacker, Jacksonville. I think that was the first defensive player to... No, the defensive lineman went three overall. So the first linebacker, which traditionally is the first defensive player to go, a linebacker normally, goes actually eighth overall. That's the farthest the first linebacker has fallen since our very first draft, our very first rookie draft, which I think was in 2012 when Luke Kuechly... I can glance here while we're talking, but I think he fell to like sixth. Maybe even 10th, but let me get you that actual.
He fell down there pretty far, and that was one of our previous owners, that, you know, Sean Van Hemmer, you know.
Yeah, Sean. The Van Hemmer guy.
Yeah, Sean drafted him, and I remember when the pick was made, you posted right away on the chat board, you go, man, if you would have let him slide, I was trying to move to get up there.
10th overall, actually. 10th overall in the first draft. And I had traded that year the 6th overall pick. I would have taken him at 6. I traded that for Jamal Charles back then. You know, it's funny. I do want to mention this. You've just kind of spurred my memory. I want to do a draft review show across the board. We're 5. This is our 6th season, if I'm not mistaken. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, this is our 6th season, our 5th overall rookie draft. I'd love to go back in time and look at some of those drafts now, 5 years later, 4 years later, and see kind of like who did what.
Yeah,
because I'm just to give you a taste of it, I know there was, I think in 2000, I want to just off the top of my head, 2014, I think it was. I've been kind of talking to guys about this recently, and I just went back kind of in preparation for this podcast and thinking about podcasts that I wanted to do, this was the year that Transpat Sixer collected like 10, 11 picks, rookie picks. Check this out as far as their final five picks that year. So this starts out with pick 3-7. So you're halfway through the third round. They pick up Dante Moncrief, wide receiver, Indianapolis. Then with the 11th pick in the third round, they pick up Jeremy Hill, running back Cincinnati. Then the first pick of the fourth round, they get quarterback Derek Carr of Oakland. The second pick of the fourth round, Preston Brown, linebacker Buffalo. And then the third pick of the fourth round, they pick up Richard Rodgers, tight end Packers. I mean, that was their last five picks. They did a great job, and they're doing a good job of turning that team around. Mike Thomas, God bless him, didn't do them many favors with the talent and the cap situation that he left them. But getting back on track here, because I totally derailed the show right there, because I really do want to do a review show about all these picks that we've made over the years. So Miles Jack went 8th overall to Dream Team, 9th overall. Stoneform Pally's had picks 9 and 10 back-to-back. He took wide receiver Will Fuller of Houston, and then he followed it up with linebacker Darren Lee of the Jets. 11th overall, Corey Coleman of Cleveland went a downhill from here. Rounding out the first round, your team, Tom, defensive back Carl Joseph of Oakland. By the way, totally pissed me off. I just, in my gut, I knew you were going to take that. That's an awesome pick. Let's do a little.
Yeah, we're pegged on that guy. I don't know. It was. I didn't really have anything else in mind. I mean, it was either trading out of that spot or picking him. That was all it was, you know.
Well, actually, let me dig into this, because before we talk about the picks overall, I have you here. I have to ask you what was going through your mind as each of these picks came on the clock. You talked a little bit about Shepard being in the running when you took Laquon Treadwell. So you're down here, you're 12th overall, and downhill from here takes Corey Coleman right in front of you. So what's going through your mind? What other players are in under consideration, and why did Joseph win out, if you don't mind telling us?
Well, at that point, I didn't really see anybody else that fit my squad at that point in time. I got an aging defensive back from Philadelphia right now, and he's a safety, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this kid got all the characteristics and everything that they said that's available for somebody that's going to be an elite position for years to come. Otherwise, I'm going to trade out, because I didn't really see anybody else that I would prefer to have on my team at that point. Like I said, either take him or trade out for a pick to get back into next year's draft early on again.
And average draft position.
And being on vacation, I couldn't get nobody to bite on trying to take that trade while I was, you know, being on a family vacation and all. It was kind of hard doing the draft during that part, but when I got a chance to get in, you know, from vacation time, I was sending offers left and right too, so nothing really came across the board that would have got me off of, you know, anything that was good enough to make me steer away from taking Joseph there.
Well, it's funny, we were talking earlier about how I was mentioning that the pundits were saying that this draft was kind of thin at the top, and that, you know, compared to prior years and next year, and you're just kind of articulating just that, is that you got down to that 12th pick, and you immediately started thinking, all right, this is the best defensive player that's out there. You know, frankly, the best player at this point in time was potentially the defensive back, Carl Joseph. You did have Michael Thomas from New Orleans sitting there. You had a couple of linebackers, Deion Jones, one of them. Derrick Henry was there, the running back. But if you think back to those skill position players, there was no, you know, TJ Yeldon sitting there that would potentially be a starter for the Jags. There was no David Johnson sitting there. You know what I mean? It kind of quickly dropped into players that have potential, but like a Devontae Booker who went 11th overall in the second round, you immediately went to players that you're really, it's unclear. Are they going to have a shot? You know, are you going
to,
these are true dynasty
gonna
picks when you're getting guys like
that. Am I going to wait on this guy? Am I going to have to stash him and wait for him to hopefully hit? Because basically my mindset was, I was looking at everybody, the only other guy that would have, I mean, into a starting role right away would be Deion Jones, and that was pretty much it in my eyes. I mean, unless I wanted to go grab a different safety, but at that point, it's either Keanu Neal or Carl Joseph. I have Joseph rated way higher than I did Keanu Neal. So, I mean, the only other option would have been like a Deion Jones, because I know he's got the opportunity to get in there and be a starter, possible middle linebacker right off the bat. So
that's actually Joseph was who I would have taken, because I had the pick after you at that time. I traded it, but I had 13 overall. Joseph was lined up on my draft card, and Jones was number two. So those were, just as you say, that's exactly how I had it on my draft board, those guys one and two. And then I had Kenau Neal and Sua Cravens, Cravens and then Neal. Well, actually, I kind of would flop back and forth between the two, but I had, like, all defense in that early part of the second round. So as far as what you were, you know, working with when you got to 12, dude, I thought Joseph of the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders was a damn good pick. A high-character guy, too, hard worker. Why don't we go ahead and talk about some of the individual players a little bit? I mean, Elliott, first overall, consensus pick, no discussion here. I mean, the guy's a stud. He's on a team with a great offensive line that should win their division. I mean, hands down, not much else to say here, right? Week one starter on pretty much every team in the league, no?
Especially with what's-his-name going down, Darren McFadden with the elbow, broken elbow. That just escalates. Even, you know, without a doubt, this is his offense to go with now. I mean, I think you're going to say it's his offense now. It's no longer a Romo, Dez Bryant type thing. It's Zeke's frickin' offense, and everybody else is just like, you know, a contributor now.
So second overall is Treadwell. For Treadwell, starter for the Vikings week one, I think that's, I think most people would agree with that. It's not like it's going to be handed to him, but I think he will win out and be a starting wide receiver on the Vikings this year. I think once Adrian Peterson retires, he could become the next Chris Carter. His route running and ability to, you know, meet the ball at its height and kind of win those jump balls is what I think he was known for in college. What do you think? Next Chris Carter?
I actually think more along the lines of like Michael Irvin. I think he's got playmaker ability. I mean, I'm not going to toot the horn for a guy drafted, but I'm just looking at who's coaching him with Norv Turner there. They have a bell cow running back. The only thing that could hinder him is the quarterback situation with Teddy Bridgewater. But there's speculation that they're going to go back to the way they started last season and do more shotgun-type system, which from words that have been going around is something that doesn't play too well to the advantage of Adrian Peterson. But if they do that, that gives Teddy Bridgewater a little more time to make better decisions. And I think just the ability to make things happen, you know, on press coverage, man coverage, zone coverage, I think Treadwell, with that 4.6 40 feet, everybody's locked in on a negative on that. And I got a weird feeling that he's going to at least put up 10 touchdowns this year, possibly 1,100 yards and probably 85 catches. Seems to be pretty nice numbers for a number two, you know, number two overall pick rookie, you know?
He was always mentioned as the, you know, when they talked about who's the top wide receiver in this class, his name always came up. You know, there are some people that felt Doxson was the guy or Shepard, but Treadwell's name came up. Everybody mentioned his name. And, again, I do think it's still going to be Peterson's team up to the day he retires, but it's a very, very solid pick in a PPR league. Third overall was what I think was the shock of the draft. And, you know, we I always tell people, you know, we're just guys talking football, and I've talked to Brian myself about this pick, so I'm not ripping him behind his back or anything, but the Marauding Minotaurs trading up to third overall to take a defensive lineman, and it's not just that he's a defensive lineman. It's the fact that he's a defensive end that plays – he got drafted into a 3-4 system where at any given time he could be moved to outside linebacker. That's what does it for me. It's, yes, the Chargers said they're going to pledge to try to keep him at defensive line for the year, but the Minotaurs traded Dez Bryant, who I think is going to be a top five to, frankly, roughly top five wide receiver this year, somewhere between 5 and 10, but I think around 5-6. And he traded pick 3-9 and 4-4. To Transpap Sixer to get pick 1-3 and 2-3. So he got the third pick in the first round and a third pick in the second round, but he gave them back a third and a fourth. So really what he did is he gave them Dez Bryant to move up from 3-9 to 1-3 and from 4-4 to 2-3. It's kind of moving up two rounds. I did not like the trade. I thought Tron won that trade is what I'm trying to say. But when he moved up into, I know he was high on him. He's high on him, and you got to take your hat off to a guy that does this. I do it myself, and I'm a huge proponent of swinging the bat. Get up there, Andy, you know, Ipswich United, got up, swung the bat, got the number one overall pick. You know, I think he even did that before the draft happened, the NFL's draft, and got Elliott.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. That's great, and good for Brian for going up to get the pick and get the guy that he wanted to get. I know he was concerned about Dez Bryant's salary, and he felt he had shopped Dez Bryant to multiple owners without anybody really being interested, to talk a little bit about his side of why he made the trade the way he did. He lost Chandler Jones, who he was counting on to be a defensive lineman starter this year. And Jones got reclassified as an outside linebacker, which was one of the motivations to Brian moving up and taking Joey Bosa. But for me, third overall, man, you know, you gave up Dez Bryant.
You have to get an impact player there. If you're getting rid of Dez Bryant, he should have he's lost out on Chandler Jones. And mine and his trade for Steven Tuitt could make me go up to 2 this year. To make me go up to 4, actually. I had actually picks 4 and 10 this year, and I traded those away with Tony Pellis to actually get back up to 2 once him and his brother Ipswich did a trade this year. But once he did that, I mean, he was trying to shop me Chandler Jones as well this year. And I had a weird feeling as soon as, you know, it came down that the switch was happening, because he was in the contract discussions. They weren't going to sign him. And I'm like, I can't take a guy that's not going to be on, you know, the Patriots. He's perfect in their system. Now it's going to be Jamie Collins, you know, shot. But I think he reached there. I think he should have got a first-round pick for next year somehow in that deal with Dez Bryant being involved in it. It should have never been. I don't know what the thought process was, but there should have been a first or at least minimum second round pick for next year's draft coming his way for that player being involved.
My thing overall is that he could have got him later, in my opinion. You know, is it? Yeah, someone might have taken him, but I think he could have gotten him later, and I also think he didn't have to pay as much as he did to go get him. But I absolutely respect the hell out of a guy getting up and making the move like that. I think it takes balls to swing the bat like that. And frankly, you're the king of making moves like that, man. There are moves that you've made, you know, coming out of King for a Day this past year where you went defense, defense, defense. You're doing stuff that people, you know, kind of blink their eye at the time and or shake their head at, and sometimes you've come out of it really well too. So maybe the Minotaur as well.
You got me a king for a day championship 1 year. So.
Well, hey, moving on to the fourth pick. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. So Josh Doctson was the fourth pick overall to the Stoneform Pallies. I know Steve was tickled to death to get him. It was what I predicted his pick would be if Tron didn't keep the pick and take him. I'd love to hear from Tron who they would have taken third overall, because I thought Doctson might be the guy. Not sure. We'll never know.
I definitely love the pick too. He was my third wideout, like I said, behind Shepherd and Treadwell, but has all the capabilities of making this somebody who's going to go. I think if that offense goes the way it should, they could do exactly how Indianapolis was doing it back in the day. Three wideouts, split a running back wide, you know.
Well, I go more recent. I go to the Cincinnati. Gruden's connection, the coach there.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential there on that team. And, I mean, whether he gets his first shot at being one of the first three guys or if Crowder is going to get there first, I don't know. But once he does get in there, that's if you play all four of those guys out there and then you got Jordan Reed, forget about it. Who do you cover? You can't double anybody.
Right, and I think he may actually have value even in redraft leagues this year, Josh Doctson. Dynasty is gold because both DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon's contracts are up after this year, so he could go into next season as the number one on that team, or even should. Fifth overall, Kenneth Dixon. Oh, go ahead, Tom. You got another comment about Josh?
Yeah, the other thing I really liked about him that, like I said, I had him in my top three wideouts was, like Treadwell, he's a big-bodied receiver, and he's that point of attack on that high pass in the end zone.
High pointing the ball.
Oh, God, yeah. The guy is spot on, and that's definitely what threw him way up on my list. And like I said, when I saw Steve take him, I loved the pick. It's perfect for him. I love the pick right there.
Yeah, it was a good pick for his team, too. That's a great point to bring up. Fifth overall, show me your TDs took running back Kenneth Dixon of Baltimore. This is one of those picks where it depends who you're talking to. Some people love the guy. Some people are lukewarm. Some people don't like the guy. I personally am lukewarm on him. I think that there's just too many bodies there in that Baltimore backfield for me to pin a high pick on. I guess I didn't really care for the pick, but I don't knock it because he could end up being the starting running back before the year's over, and Baltimore is a good team that has run the ball. So what do you think of Scott Phillips' pick of Kenneth Dixon?
Well, understanding, looking at his team, I understood the pick because he's kind of light in the running back category on his team. So I could understand the pick, but I would say that was one of the picks that they always use in drafts as saying, oh, that might be our reach pick of this round. I think other than Bosa, I think that was a guy that I think could have slid a little further. It could have either been a later first or second round pick guy.
I hate to segue like this, Carr, I don't mean anything by it, but speaking of reaches, Jared Goff, sixth overall. Gar has Joe Flacco and Ryan Tannehill on his roster, and I think he might have to tag Tannehill to keep him after this year. That's just off the top of my head. Did he have Peyton Manning up in, or did he trade that to Dream? I know at one point Gar had Peyton Manning, but if I could just get back on track. Jared Goff,
yeah,
sixth overall. I guess it's not a horrible pick. I just thought you got Sterling Shepard there, Miles Jack, some other, you know, Darren Lee, some other players were there, and he decided to go with the quarterback. So what do you think of Jared Goff?
Well, when I was looking at his wideout crew, I would have figured Shepard would have been perfect for his squad there. It just made perfect sense, and I wasn't sure if anybody was going to pick one of those two quarterbacks, three quarterbacks, until either the second or third round, actually. I just didn't see any teams other than maybe downhill from here who only had one quarterback picking them, and that being, like I said, late second, early third, mid-third round. But when Gard took him, that was another shocker. I was like, there was a lot more things you could have grabbed at that point.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's a league where you can't knock a guy for taking a quarterback early, but at the same time, I think, like I said about Brian taking Joey Bosa, these are players that I think might have fallen if they waited.
Yeah.
You can't blame a guy for going to get a guy he likes, especially at quarterback. Sterling Shepard went 7th overall. We've talked about him. Good player, perfect situation as far as going to get some playing time and offensive-minded coach. Any other comments on Shepard before we move on?
I went to a team that just lost Calvin Johnson.
I'm talking about the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah, the Giants and stuff, I think he was just the perfect landing spot for Sterling Shepard. And then for him going, Brian Frams for picking him, I think that was a perfect pick for him.
So we got about 7 minutes left. 7 minutes left, Tom. Miles Jack went 8th overall to Dream Team. I love, best comment ever. I was at Summerfest, just got home, drafting intoxicated. Will I regret this pick in the AM? Love it, Matt. I don't think he's going to regret taking Miles Jack. I think Miles Jack was a steal at 8th overall. I made some inquiries to try to trade up. I kind of knew he was going to take him when it fell to him. It did feel like Sean Van Hammert all over again. Anders Gish back in 2012, Keekly falling. That's what it felt like to me. How about you?
Exact same feeling. 100%. I know me and you talked before the draft even happened, and I know you'd mentioned that you thought that might be a guy I was interested in. And when I brought up that I was going, probably Treadwell once Andy had the first pick, you're like, oh, I thought you would be, leaning towards, Jack, but no.
I thought even Tron might take him third overall because they've taken offensive players, wide receivers for years now early, and I thought maybe this would be the year they shifted to defense.
This is where I said it before, the rich got richer, man. He just filled himself up with another stud player for the future and years to come. I don't think that the injury is going to be a problem. I think he's going to go blow right through it.
Ninth and 10th overall, Stoneform Pally's had these picks. Steve had the second and third of his three first-round picks. He took Will Fuller, wide receiver Houston, and Darren Lee, the linebacker from the Jets. I love the Jets linebacker, Darren Lee. Great pick. It's somewhere where I didn't look heavy at linebackers in past years because Ryan was the coach up there. But now that we have a different coach in place, the linebackers are playing a much bigger role, and Lee is very talented. Will Fuller, I didn't think Fuller was the best wide receiver at this point, but I know that Steve really likes him, and he likes his spot opposite of Hopkins in Houston. Time will tell. It's not a horrible pick. It's not, it's debatable. It's just me personally, I was lukewarm on that pick. I thought maybe he could have gotten something better out of it.
How
about
you
on those two?
Yeah. I was a little more cold with the Fuller move as well. Just case of the dropsies, little smaller framed kind of guy. I figured if he was going to go for a speed guy, I figured he'd try going with the Corey Coleman guy, see if that would be a better fit for his squad. But I do agree with the Darren Lee pick, with Bowles being there as the new coach. What's his name's not getting any younger. DeMario Smith and I forget the other kid's name in the middle too, David Harris. Those guys aren't getting any younger. There's nothing really there except for Lee right now and a rookie from last year, Molden. I think that's going to be your two guys.
Coleman or Michael Thomas, I would have thought he would have looked at. But again, he believes in them. He doesn't feel the drops were something that won't be overcome, and he loves the spot opposite Hopkins. So let's move over to 11th overall. Downhill from here took Corey Coleman. Downhill afterwards, on the, I think you were on the board, called it the toughest pick he's had to make in his five, it's his sixth year, but we've had five, this is our fifth rookie draft, toughest pick he's had to make. So talented player, shitty situation in Cleveland. What do you got?
Yeah, that one shook me too, because I'm sitting there waiting to pick right after him, and from all comments on the board, the chat board was, you know, he's got three guys, and he says one way or another he doesn't, you know, he wasn't 100% sure on that pick, what he was going to pick, and he just winged it, and he's, you know, he's taking a shot, you know. You can't fault the guy for taking a shot on an upstart system down there. I think that they might have the right core of guys down there in Cleveland now, and might have, you know, Hugh Jackson doing what they did in Cincinnati, you know, have two, three, four wideouts being able to come out of nowhere, you know.
Well, hey, I got three questions left for you and about 3 minutes to do it, so let's go a minute a pop. What are your favorite players selected in round one? I mean, guys that you'll look back 3 to 5 years from now and wish you had them on your team. For me, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Not very original, but it's what I feel. I think he was the absolute best guy. I do love Joseph, your guy there, 12th overall. What do you think, best favorite players, whether they're on your team or not?
The generic is Zeke, is for sure. I'll look back at not taking Shepard if it comes back to bite me in the rear. Miles Jack and Doctson. I don't know. I got a weird feeling Doctson might do some damage. Like you said, next year will be his year.
Yeah. Next question. Obviously, guys, subjective criticism here. Don't get your undies in a bunch. Just a bunch of guys talking football. With respect to strategy, team fit, talent, fantasy impact, player taste, what are some of your least favorite picks and why? I said I didn't like Bosa third overall. Thought Goff could have waited longer. Would have taken somebody over Fuller. What about you?
Yeah, my problems were Bosa, Dixon, Goff, and I was a little rubbed wrong with the Fuller move, but, you know, it could prove you wrong in the down the road, but...
You know,
yeah,
if I think this over again, though, I think it's Bosa for me, though, because I can make the case for Goff. Who else are you going to take? I mean, if you didn't really like the talent around it, like Steve at Fuller, he preferred Fuller over the other guys. You can't argue with that. Goff, I can't argue with taking a good quarterback early. I do think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think it'll just take a little bit. Dixon, if Scott believes that he could be the running back this year in Baltimore, you know what I mean? You can make a case for all this. The part with Bosa where I fall off is the fact that you can't guarantee me that 2 years from now he'll be a defensive lineman. And if he goes to outside linebacker, the value is gone. And that's what I think really hurts that one. But
yeah.
Based on the quality of players or the fit with their fantasy team filling a need, what owner or owners do you think did really well in round one?
Well, you got to go with Zeke. Andy went for a home run, got himself up to that first pick, got himself a star-studded premier running back now that he can hang his boots on. I like how Steve got in and made his mark there, man. He got some decent wideouts. He got that linebacker he could use. I like the movement by him there. And like I said, the rich got richer with pregame. He's picking up Jack, who could be the key of this year.
Well, I got to say that I thought your draft with first round, Treadwell and Joseph, excellent picks, both starters. Obviously, Stone Form had three picks and did great, put great talent on their team, and Ezekiel Elliott is a no-brainer. Loved you're in trouble picking up Shepard. I did. So that's going to do it for our time today. It's going to be a wrap-up for round one. Stay tuned, everybody, for round two and rounds 3, 4, 5 recap shows. Going to split those up. Maybe we'll do a 5-year recap show if we can get time. That's going to be coming to an electronic device near you. Until then, I'd like to thank my guest today, Mr. Tom Buckles. We're going to end with a crazy little something. Tra-la-la, the Banana Splits show, if anybody remembers this, when we were kids. Take care, everybody.